If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. And right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
All right, welcome in Busted Open Radio Nation to week three of Busted Open on a Saturday. And we have a stacked show for you on the podcast edition of Busted Open Radio. First, we're going to lead with a little Shinsuke Nakamura, Baron Corbin, Daniel Bryan threesome, if you will, and our thoughts on SmackDown. Big Mark, I know you thought very highly of SmackDown this week.
I did. I thought that Roman Reigns, also thrown in that equation, made for a great show.
And also making for a great SmackDown, it was the continuation of Bayley as venturing out and with this new attitude, as she is now going to be taking on, as we found out, Mark Henry, after the six-pack challenge, one Nikki Cross.
Nikki Cross came across in a six-pack challenge as a number one contender, and she is just that. Any match you put her in, she is a contender.
We're also going to delve into Bruce Pritchard replacing Eric Bischoff in SmackDown. And to end the show, we're going to get into our best show of the week in Busted Open's weekly winner. SmackDown on Fox,
yes.
Going down last night. Very interesting card. You know, I feel like it's hard for me to adjust from the standpoint that, well, you know, Michael Cole's on the commentary team. They made reference to it last night, the A show. I'm having a little bit of a time getting right with the A show being only 2 hours. So, Mark, it really feels like the time flies by. So let's start with the main event. We got a little glimpse into a program that I think we can pretty much, I don't want to say guarantee is going to be going down, but it looks pretty safe to say that Daniel Bryan, Shinsuke Nakamura, maybe a feud coming up in the future. But what we got another window into last night, Mark Henry, was the teaming, the unlikely teaming, as we heard in the broadcast, of Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan. So what did you think about that main event last night?
I thought it worked. I thought it was normally they say oil and water doesn't mix, but
right.
I think that Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns is a different pairing, but it worked. And I'm hoping that they continue to do it, because the crowd was cheering them both, but when they got in the ring together, the crowd came, it was like they was expecting them to embrace. They was expecting them to shake hands or high five or dab each other up or something. And
right.
They didn't. So it created a little bit of what's going on? And I think that that's healthy in a relationship like that with two guys. You can have an identity individually, but when you're together, you can still flourish in the ring. So, I thought Sami Zayn made the whole thing work. I mean, he wasn't croutons on the salad. He was the salad.
Yeah. He is the job he's been doing recently, Mark Henry, has been outstanding. Sammy's been great ever since he stepped foot in the WWE. I remember thinking back to they made him take his mask off. They took away El Generico. I was furious at the time, but with that going against him, but think about it. That was going against him from the hardcore fans' standpoint, right? Like they were upset. They were wondering, this is a new venture for all the people that had followed him before the WWE, but he's knocked it out of the park. And I mean, I would imagine you could probably highlight more on this, but once they got Sammy into the Performance Center and once they saw his capabilities on the mic, they probably saw, hey, this is something, and clearly, we saw it last night and we've been seeing it for the last few weeks, last few months, right? This is clearly someone who can carry a promo in a very real way, even when he's surrounded by the likes of Mark, Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan, and the like.
You know what? And what was more powerful for that whole segment was him at the announce table.
Mm-hmm.
He did not seem out of place at the announce table. I think that his next move should be him making a formal retirement from wrestling, from managing, and being at the announce table. He would be great. Not just good. He would be great. But the thing about it that would make him even more impactful is he would still wrestle. He would come out and wrestle every now and then and say, okay, I'm out of retirement. And then he would retire again and just let it be a gimmick. Like, Brett Favre retired like six times.
Okay, like
how can you retire six times? That ain't right.
Well, that would I actually kind of like that from the standpoint it could be like he could pick and choose his opponent. So if he's doing a heel gimmick, right? It could be looked at as cowardly. Like he stays behind the desk until he sees someone that he wants to pick off, and then he goes in there and he takes care of business.
Right. I think that it would be great, and he can do it. And it's last night proved that he can do it. And there's many things that we want in wrestling, and the biggest thing is we want descriptive information at the table. He gave descriptive information as well as color, analyzing what's going on. And at the same time, he was a butthole. So, I mean, if he could do three jobs at once, then how good would he be at doing one? How good would he be at the announce table and being able to let everybody know what's going on in the ring, or take the role of the color guy and be the antagonist, be the guy that points out the insecurities of the heel, or show the positivity and the skill level of the babyface? Like he could be excellent at that, and I was just blown away.
Let me ask you this: as we talk about Sami Zayn, Mark, in terms of in-ring, we haven't seen a lot from Sammy as of late. Like, if you had to gauge, like, would you like to see him back in the ring sooner? And listen, he is doing a great job at the role that he's in right now, but we know this guy can carry a match. We know this guy can work in a serious way, right? Do you think we'll see him inside the ring anytime soon working some matches?
I think so. I think that right now his role is the be there for Shinsuke. Mm-hmm. But if it was up to me, and we talked about our own personal drafts, if we were going to start a company, if it was Team Ryan and Company Ryan and Company Mark Henry, who would we start picking? And we went back and forth. And it was like I thought our draft style was better than the one that we got to see on television, but we'll talk about that. That's another tease for later on in the show. But Sami Zayn would have been on my roster because of the versatility, because of the intellect, and because of how interesting he is. You know how easy it would be to put a mask, make Sami Zayn some dumb mask character that nobody ever heard of, ever thought about, and just threw him out there against somebody and him do really good. He wins and beats somebody that's credible, and then he runs off, and nobody knows the mystery man. Sami Zayn could do stuff like that. There's no limit to his skill level. And you see that in his promos. His promos are fire. And when we talked about the battle between AEW and NXT, one of the things that stands out in their programming is the interviews that Cody and the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, they and Jericho, they have promos that are awe-inspiring. You can't turn the TV when they're talking. Sami Zayn is the same thing. They have got to find somebody on NXT that could deliver a promo that's like in the elk of Sami Zayn. And Sami does that on SmackDown. And SmackDown was a better show. And I think that because he's on that show and the spot that he took yesterday, that there's going to be more of that. And we got to see that in all wrestling. You know, I mean, even in Impact, I was watching Moose. And I know I'm all over the place, me and Dave talked about this yesterday. Moose has gotten dramatically better in just a six month period.
Yeah.
And watching Big Mike, Big Mike's body has changed so much that, you know, you want to see what he could do now with his body type. But getting back to Sami Zayn is another guy that has done what those guys have done. He's improved at such a rapid pace. that is polarizing, and you just can't take your eyes off.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Mark Henry. Let's close on this because the finish last night, I thought it was interesting, might be a glimpse into the future. Daniel Bryan, pinning Shinsuke Nakamura. Listen, we know their history. They go back a long time. They've known each other for well over a decade, Shinsuke and Daniel Bryan, but we haven't got to see them, you know, mix it up in the WWE in a real way. Mark, I really hope this is a sign of things to come, especially from the Intercontinental Championship standpoint. It's got a nice piece of gold on the line. Shinsuke has been without a really solid program, maybe since AJ. I don't know how you want to look at it, but yeah, I really like these two paired together, Mark Henry. What do you think? Is this a glimpse into the future?
I think it has legs. I think that something else has got to happen with Shinsuke so that we don't have a case where the manager gets more shine than the talent. So Sami Zayn is so polarizing that he took some of the light off of Shinsuke last night. So Shinsuke is going to have to up his game. They're going to have him, because he got pinned, go off and completely annihilate Daniel. I mean, it's got to be something that we all just go, wow.
Gasp. Yeah.
Yeah, just a gasp moment. And I think that if we can get that, this thing has legs. You could take it on a couple of pay-per-views.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Admit, I love Lacey Evans. I wanted to see her win last night, but I am perfectly okay with Nikki Cross taking that six-pack challenge. Before we get into that and our thoughts on Bayley and her what was an outstanding promo, truly, with The Miz on Miz TV, let's head out to the phone lines because we got some callers, one in particular that wants to talk about some Sami Zayn, because we were just talking about Sami, this program, potentially what might be coming for him and how valuable he is to SmackDown on Fox. We jump out to the phone lines. We're going to catch up with Danny from Illinois. Danny, good morning. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning, sirs. How are you?
Doing good, brother. Doing real good this fine morning.
Well, Mark Henry, it is an honor, sir, to speak to you. I'm a first-time caller to Bust It Open, and when you guys brought up Zayn this morning, I just had to call. I am 64 years old. I've been watching professional wrestling since I've been 6 years old. I would sneak out of bed at 2 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday and watch wrestling at the Chase on a Sunday morning, and beknownst to my parents, you know, they would have been anyway.
we know.
In my, you know, 50 plus years, seen a wrestler as obnoxious as Sami Zayn. And that's why I love the guy. I don't know. He's just one of the most obnoxious wrestlers. His promos are great. His wrestling abilities are fabulous. It's just, he's obnoxious.
That is great stuff, Danny, and we do appreciate the call, especially a first-time caller at 64 years old, man. Keep going strong. That is what wrestling is all about. Mark, you know, he talks about Sami being annoying. And listen, if you follow me on Twitter, if you know anything about me, I can be plenty critical of the WWE, but there are times where you need to give credit where credit is due in a very real way. I'm going to tell you this right now. When they took that mask off of Sami Zayn, when they did away with El Generico, I was furious. I was heartbroken. I was invested in that character, his matches with Owens, his tagging with Owens when they were Steen and Generico, all that stuff. I had a soft spot for that, right? I didn't think it would work in the least. Not only has it worked, Mark Henry, the WWE clearly recognized his ability on the microphone and the character that he could be, and they harnessed that, and they pushed that in a way that I never thought possible. And I would argue, Mark, that Sami today is better than Sami in those years, especially from a character standpoint. And I can't believe I'm finding myself saying that, but it's true, and that is all credit to the WWE.
And it is. And when you recognize a talent, you have to exploit that, and they were able to do that. And I don't know if Sami wanted to do that at that time, because during that time, he was making a lot of money on the indies as El Generico.
Mm-hmm.
And the gimmick that he – I mean, even right now, I think that's one that they could – if they can find somebody that can halfway work at that level, they can put that character can come back. Mm-hmm. He can come back. It won't be Sami Zayn.
Right. But, well, it was what made it so special.
It's kind of like Doink
degree,
the Clown was, you know, you had several Doinks.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, Sami is a talented guy. And sometimes you got to get out of your own way. And I think that the WWE allowed him to get out of his own way by taking the mask off and making him fend for himself and fight for himself. And he changed his body because he was soft. And now he's a muscle guy. He'll never be a bodybuilder or an Adonis. He's just genetically built for that.
Right.
But he looks good, and he works his ass off. And I'll take him all day, twice on Saturday.
I'm with you, and it really does show. All right, let's turn the page on Sami Zayn. You guys can call in, give your thoughts as well. But Mark and I are going to pivot to that six-pack challenge. And you know what? Before we get to Nikki Cross, because that was a nice win for Nikki, as we talked about, it sets her up with this title match with Bayley. Can we talk about Bayley for a second? Bayley goes out there and does this spot on Miz TV, which, you know, Mark, we're only a couple weeks into this proper heel turn of Bayley. Obviously, we saw it in Vegas last Friday with the slashing of the inflatable wacky arm tube guys, and we got that great viral video of that kid crying in the kitchen when pro wrestling is absolutely the best. I love that stuff. That's my one. I don't have kids. I'm 36. You know, maybe that, you know, that time will come. I'm not really sure. But when I see stuff like that, that is like, I don't even know if I want kids, Mark Henry. But when I see stuff like that, I absolutely want kids just so I can laugh at them when stuff like that happens in pro wrestling, because that's where you see the real emotion, right? You see it in the kids. It's some of the best reactions. Ms. Girl, I could go on and on. But Bayley is a heel. She goes out there with, you know, the Miz, who is one of the best talkers of the last 20 years. I've been curious as how Bayley was really going to get this heel character over. You know, I think, you know, 6-7 years of being in the public light as not just a baby face, Mark Henry, but like an ultra baby face, like a baby face is baby face. She is doing her damnedest to get this over. I loved what I saw last night. That line about when I lost the title, right? When I lost that title, who was there to hug me? That hit, that was great writing. That was a great promo. And I'm telling you, man, I'm getting more and more on board with this Bayley as a heel character. She is putting in the work. You can tell that she's clearly motivated, and it's working, Mark Henry.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, man, where you want to see people get it brought out of them, and mm-hmm. I think that it was necessary for her to turn heel to be able to get the best out of herself, because you have to wake up and go to the arena with a purpose. And I think she got it kind of got mundane and it was monotonous to go and be the baby face when deep down in your heart you wanted to point out the fact that there were people that were on the show maybe a year, maybe 2 years before you that you helped train, that you were better than. At least you thought you were better than, which I think is true, that she was better than some of these people. Some of the people have stepped up and have become superstars that came up before her. But there were some people that came up because they looked good. They were fine as hell. They would do good on television. That's why they got the nod before her. Because there's no way, and I'm not going to point people out, but there are some people, you know who they are, that should not have come up before Bayley did. And I'm on her side that's something that she should use, because I'm going to tell you, I've never got by on my good looks. I had to be talented. I had to be well studied. I had to know the history.
Right.
I had to foster good relationships. I had to do everything else that there was necessarily possible to do to get my shine. And that's where she is. And now she's a good looking woman to me.
Oh, I agree.
And definitely, in my opinion, with the thickness, one of the finest on the roster. But she doesn't get the credit for being a good-looking woman because she's not what everybody collectively wants to see. But she's exactly what you want to see as a heel, because I'm going to rub your face in the mat. I'm going to step on your face. I'm going to put your hair over your face and cover your face and choke you with your own hair. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be the worst human being in the ring as it relates to what it is as a woman to take another woman's beauty away. And that's something that they should play on. And I think at some point, I'm not sure when it's going to happen, but I think that her heat can get hotter than Sasha's. And when that happens, is she going to still be the same friend when she's second fiddle? Because Miz made point to it in his promo. So it's okay that you're out here and have Sasha be your spokesman because she's more established than you?
Yeah, she calls her Paul Heyman, right?
Oh, man, he called her as Paul Heyman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, listen, man, don't think that that didn't plant a little seed in people's head.
Right.
That it could be friend against friend at WrestleMania. I mean, can you imagine that with the title on the line?
Oh, it'd be great. I mean, we saw what it did at NXT, and we saw it was one of the greatest women's matches in the last 10 years, maybe in history.
Yeah.
So, yeah, to see it on the biggest stage at WrestleMania, sign me the F up, Mark Henry. Let me ask you this, because you touched on something that I find really interesting with Bayley, and I don't know how much people talk about it. I mean, you see it on the forums occasionally. People have their opinions. The sex appeal of Bayley. I think it's there. I think it's real. I think she is a good-looking woman. And
She doesn't play on it.
Well, and that, but right? That wasn't her role before as that ultra baby face. That wasn't something that I felt like that was even acknowledged, right? I feel with this new attitude, right? I think there's a real chance and a real opportunity to play on that sexuality and that sex appeal, and people that maybe didn't see Bayley in that light, now that she's got the sleek look, the chopped hair, there's that little bit of element of danger, that could absolutely lend itself to the sex appeal of Bayley, no?
Yeah, I think so. I want to get an opinion of a woman. I'm going to ask Gabby. Are we wrong, Gabby, for trying to sexualize how attractive Bayley is and her lack of trying to come across as a sex symbol as well as somebody that's been kind of looked over because she didn't have blonde hair and she didn't look like everybody else?
I don't think so. And the reason I say that is because I don't even think it has to do with, you know, the blonde hair, how she dressed or anything, but because her character before was so almost childlike with the ponytail.
Wholesome.
Very wholesome.
Yeah.
But I would see her and I'd be like, oh, like she never really grew up. You know, she comes out bouncing around. She's got the little side pony. Like that's how I would dress if I wanted to you know, she didn't wear a lot of the makeup. She wasn't really, it wasn't her thing. When she came out last night and she had that crazy eye makeup on and you know she's got that slick little haircut, her, you know, it's kind of almost leather like her new outfit that she's wearing, she's got new music that she kind of she doesn't bounce around anymore, she walks with confidence, and that is a woman that wants to be looked at as I'm sexy now and I'm confident in myself, and I don't need to dress a certain way to be confident in myself, but my attitude is what makes me confident and that's what's going to make me attractive. And I think that it's not even sexualizing, it's her attitude and her edge that's making her look better. So I completely agree with it. I don't think it's wrong at all, because she wants to be, as the old Bayley was a child, I think she's now come into herself as a woman, as a confident woman, and that's sexy no matter what.
Yeah, I love that analysis from Gabby right there.
That's great. And I think also, just to add on to it, as far as builds are concerned, there's nobody that's more physically attractive to me than her.
Yeah.
I like the strength and the natural curve of a woman that she possesses. And she doesn't play on it yet. She's still wearing the same style gear that she's always worn. If she wore what Mandy Rose wore, they have to put blurs on her body.
We're talking about best bodies, man. Your girl Bianca Belair might be in that category. Where I don't want to give all the credit to Bayley just yet. Like I got to stick up for my girl Bianca. You know how much I love Bianca Belair, Mark.
I know you love.
Okay. All right. Yes,
she
I
just
do.
Seems
I do.
Like a sweet kid to me. She's got that. She still looks like Bailey to me.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Bailey, I will carry the torch of sex appeal
with the
for
side
you,
ponytail.
Bianca Belair. I got you, Bianca. You are what is you are what's up? Listen, I'm gonna get very sidetracked talking
shoot
about Bianca
shot.
Belair. Yeah, right. No. I don't want to upset Mr. Montez over there. Listen. Yeah, I don't want to upset Montez. Listen,
you
we are gonna
him
come back.
The finger at you.
No, I don't. That is very true.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
Yeah, I'm really curious. How are people feeling right now about Eric Bischoff, Mark Henry? Because this was a story earlier in the week that you guys didn't get to talk about. Listen, this is a man you know very well. Obviously, this is a company you know very well. When news came down about Bischoff, being let go from SmackDown, I think a lot of people were surprised. I mean, for a few reasons, but I think the initial shock, right, for a lot of people, like when you read the headline, I think it was like, oh my God, that was not that long of a run for Eric Bischoff. So from your view, from your angle, Mark Henry, what went wrong, and what are your thoughts on Eric Bischoff leaving SmackDown?
You know what? I was really shocked. I was really shocked when I heard the news, because I remember talking to Eric and him moving from Montana to Connecticut and driving his stuff himself. Bro, that's a long, long haul to have to turn around and go somewhere else. I don't know if he's going back to Montana or if he's, making another stop somewhere. What's the case? And hopefully I'll be able to get some clarification on that. Maybe we can give Eric a call and see, if he's ready to talk or if he wants to talk.
That'd be great. That'd be great.
I liked Eric. I thought Eric was a class human being. We spoke about wrestling away from it like we weren't a part of it. And sometimes you got to be able to have that ability to step away and see what it is that makes you like it as a fan. He was able to do that, but I don't know if they ever applied any of it. And I still think that he got vetoed. I'm speculating. Mm-hmm. I don't know for a fact, but I never, like, you saw Paul Heyman's style show on the show right away when he took over Raw.
Right.
You could see the Paul Heyman influence. I don't think we ever saw the Eric Bischoff influence.
Agreed.
On SmackDown. So, did he get a fair shake? I don't know. Did he get vetoed on some of his ideas? Maybe. But you have to get the chance to put your fingerprints on whatever show that you're entrusted with. And that's just it. You are entrusted with Vince's baby. If you are not holding that baby correctly, Daddy is going to take the baby away.
Well, I like that. I like that, Mark Henry. Now, isn't that kind of the case, though, with a lot of these situations? At the end of the day, the buck stops with Vince McMahon, right? Like, both of those shows, Friday Night SmackDown now and Monday Night Raw, they both still, and I do agree, like, those first couple weeks when Paul took over Raw, yeah, you had a little bit of the cussing, you had that great Videotron spot, like, the certain promos and then certain matches. Cesaro got some serious shine, right? But again, the buck stops with Vince McMahon. So people in those positions, now it's Bruce Pritchard, Mark, I know a very good friend of yours. How much influence can those positions have? And really, in reality, how much does it matter when the end of the day, Vince, you said it's his baby. Mark, it feels like he is still holding that baby even when he is trying to give it off to, a babysitter, if you will.
But you know what? That's just what it is, though. Like, you're a sitter. You're not the new dad. You're not the new mom of that show. You are a sitter. I'm going to leave for a minute. but I'll be right back. Hold the baby. If you can't hold the job down, then let me know. I'll get somebody else. And that's what I think happened. And like I said, this is opinion. This is not facts. I don't know if there was any fallout or disagreements right. or whatever. I would like to ask Eric himself, you know, what was the case, because only he and Vince knows, and he may not want to talk about it. You know, I mean, out of respect for Vince and what happened. He may just say, you know, or he may be pissed and say, you know what, I want to talk about. I didn't get a fair shake or whatever. I don't know. But hopefully we can find out here pretty soon.
Yeah, no, I like that idea. Let's pivot, though, to Bruce Pritchard. He takes over Friday Night SmackDown. This is a man you know pretty well. What do you think the expectations from Bruce are going to be? How short of a leash is he on? Because, listen, Bischoff's time was very short. It feels like, you know, they're not going to be afraid to make a move if the reactions aren't what they want. So what type of, let's use the word journey, Mark Henry. What type of journey is Bruce Pritchard in for?
Bruce is tried and true. He's always been a guy. When he was with the company before, he was always at the top. And he is a sounding board. Now he's the guy. So, you know, those ideas that could have gotten changed, now he can make them. Like, no, this is what we're doing. And this is how I want to do it. I learned a lot from Bruce from a producing standpoint. And he was one of the guys that he was the main guy that worked with me on Sexual Chocolate. Nobody else, hardly.
That's awesome.
And so Sexual Chocolate was a product of his as much as it was a product of mine. So I trust Bruce to be able to add some more comedy to the show and show I think Bruce is also a vignettes guy. He's better at the vignettes. I think that you'll see that more like you saw at AEW with Cody and his wife being able to the things that he did with his mother. Like
yeah, pull the emotion
that Cody
out.
Did. Pull emotion out through a story, a short story, 30 seconds or less. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they might go a minute. The ones that go a minute are going to be promo packages where you see somebody training like a Rocky movie, or you see somebody at the doctor's office and them getting the okay to go and, well, you're healthy. You can go all out. And then, you know, like Bruce has been really, really superior at that. So I think that the show will reflect his style of producing, and it's going to be good for TV. I think it really will be good for TV.
I'm curious, Mark, what type of pressure is going to be on Bruce, right? Because you look at what just happened to Eric after, you know, a couple months. Bruce comes in. Like you said, he's been with the company before. What type of pressure would you gauge is on Bruce Pritchard coming into this new role with SmackDown on Fox?
You know what? I think that he's going to take the same pressure that he's always had. I mean, it's a high-pressure job. You know that right away he's going to be put in the fire. So he knows what he's in for. You look at the show last night. He produced that show. And right at, you know, I called him before the show and left him a voicemail. And basically the voicemail I left was, hey, man, congratulations. Go out there and kick ass tonight. What a, you know, great opportunity. And I know you've been there before, so it's an old hat. And I wasn't expecting a callback. Because it's a busy, busy time. He called me back, didn't text me back, and said, hey, Chocolate, thank you, because he calls me Chocolate. And I said, brother, I know you're busy. Go do your thing. And he said, thank you. I need to go and produce the show. And he left, and he hung up. And that's what it is.
Yeah.
Like, he knows and appreciates people that respect what he's going through. And you have to have those people close to you, because he could call me and say, what'd you think? And I'm going to tell him exactly what I think. And he knows that.
Yeah.
And there'll be no judgment. He won't be like, oh, you're hating on me. I'll never hate on him. He's my friend. So the thing about pro wrestling, this whole world of sports entertainment and pro wrestling is an amalgamation of different personalities, different talents, and you got to find the ones that work. And Bruce will find who works well with him, who will agree with him, but also tell him, I don't agree with that. And that, I think, is where the tire meets the road. You have to find your clique, your team to produce this show. One man can't do it. One man can't manage it.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Show of the week, professional wrestling. We've been talking about it, you know, over the last few weeks. It's really never been better. The choices for fans to pick through are just incredible. Listen, I'm not going to hold it against you if you can't get to everything, right? I get it. I understand. Listen, I don't know, Mark Henry, where I'm going to land on this. I've been going back and forth in terms of picking my show of the week. Last week, unanimously, we went with AEW. Now,
AEW.
That's who you're picking this week?
No, that's last week.
Oh, okay. Okay. So unanimous, we were all AEW. Right. Now, yeah. AEW had a dynamite. Oh, damn it. I actually didn't even mean for that to be this. They had a really good show on Wednesday. It was really good. Obviously, main event with Jericho and Darby Allin. We had a good tag match in there with Hangman Page and Omega taking on Pac and Moxley. And we saw the little DDT from Moxley on Pac. And then we had the Jurassic Express come out there and do that match with the Lucha Brothers. Some people felt a certain way about Jungle Boy. We can leave that alone. We're really just talking about the card itself. Listen, I loved AEW again this week, and I really wanted to make it my best show, but I gotta be honest. I have to be honest. I can't get away. And this is any time that these two meet in a ring, it's gonna be really hard for me not to have it be the show of the week, because I could literally, we talk about fight forever. I could watch these two fight forever. Of course, I'm talking about Dominik Dijakovic and Keith Lee. Listen, I like Dijak when he was on the indies and he was doing what he was doing, but, and the same thing can be said for Keith Lee, one of the best before he went over to NXT on the open market. Them together in NXT is money, Mark Henry. Their match on Wednesday was un-freaking believable, which kind of sticks in line with what we've come to expect from those two. So just from that alone, and then you think of, obviously, you know, Pete Dunne and Damian Priest having that great match with Priest going over on Pete Dunne, another man that I think very highly of. Basically what I'm getting to, Mark Henry, I really wanted to make AEW my show of the week again this week. I just can't. I have to go with NXT. It just felt a little bit better in terms of in-ring, and I got to be honest, I talked about it. That's what's going to sway me more than anything on a week-to-week basis, so I'm going NXT. Who are you going with for your show of the week, Mark Henry?
Well, I'm a breeze through my top five, and then I'm going to come back.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with just what you just said. I would say NXT was number one. SmackDown was number two. I'm going to have to go with last night's show. It started strong and it ended strong. And okay. There was great promos from the energy from Miz, the energy from Bayley and Sasha. Mm-hmm. It was hard to beat. And then I would have to put in AEW right there following that, and then Raw, and then Power. And the reason that I is kind of the same as you is I think that Keith Lee is money. I think that we said this last week. Why was Keith Lee not on NXT when they had the show that they had put together,
the debut?
It was missing one of the most explosive guys that they have. It's like having Kevin Owens on a roster and not using him. You know, so it's time for NXT to realize that people are not going to turn the channel if Keith Lee is on. I don't care who you put over there, because they're going to want to see what he does next. And the whole saga with Moxley and Pac, they were the principals in that match, regardless of who else was in it. The story was about them. And AEW came across really, really good. Mm-hmm. But I can't give you a full show because you had two matches. NXT had four good matches. And last night's SmackDown, man, it was hard to beat. I had to defend it because you break it down and you go through that show and tell me something that was rotten.
Yeah. No, you can't. It was a good show. I'm still not going to put it above AEW just because the main events and the Mox and Pac stuff stood out to me more than anything on SmackDown, maybe aside from Bayley's sit down with The Miz. So I would be okay putting SmackDown at 3 for me, but you hit on something really interesting, and it's a show that we've been talking about now for a couple weeks and we're all very excited about, and of course that is NWA Power. You had Power coming in at 5, Mark. I don't know what is in store for NWA Power. I don't know where I would rank it. It would definitely be in my top 5. Hell, Mark, I got to be honest, I might have it at 3. I might have it after AEW and before SmackDown and Raw because I got to be honest, I enjoyed it that
the
much.
The nostalgic feel is unrivaled in wrestling.
It really is.
There's no wrestling organization that makes me feel like I felt when I was 12. And Power does. Power makes me feel like I was a 12-year-old kid watching the program. And for them to pull Colt Cabana out, brother, you know how I love that dude. And
how
I think that he's been one of the guys in wrestling that was kind of lost. Like the boat was missed with him. And Damian Sandow is back.
I like that as well.
Man, I'm just like they're stacking it up. And I think it's going to be even more really, really good programming for us in the future.
Yeah, and you know another thing I liked about it? I used my wife as a jumping off point and a reference point. We were watching the newest episode, so I sometimes on Fridays I got to catch up on shows. So actually, last night I caught up on the second episode of Power. And she's kind of watching it, and she makes a comment about how she didn't like the fact that they don't use walkout or theme music, right? And I kind of said, I was like, well, see, that's funny because for me, that's one of the things that I point to and one of the things that I look at that separates them. But, Mark, the point I'm getting at is everyone presents wrestling, almost everyone, in the same sort of way, right? You got your theme music, you come out, you do your spot, you do your pose, whatever. Power is going against that. Power is offering something that no other company is offering, at least on a popularized scale, right? To where you don't have theme music. It's all about the wrestling and the visuals, Mark. And yes, the nostalgia stuff is great, but how about the simple stuff like the backdrop of the nations and the flags behind them, right? The visuals of that kind of supplanting it as an actual athletic contest where other nations and other characters and colors and creeds are brought into the squared circle to duke it out. Brother, that is what I want in a pro wrestling show.
Yeah, I definitely do. And it forces you to be able to command the audience.
Mm-hmm.
You have to learn to talk, and you have to learn how to react to the people and force them to react the way you want them to react. And that is old school. And I'm going to have to disagree with you. And we're going to disagree sometimes. Because
that's okay.
You said that you would put AEW ahead of SmackDown, but yet
yes.
You said that it was hard for you to take your eyes off a segment that we liked, and that was Heavy Machinery and New Day together. And you telling me that you would turn the channel on Heavy Day and the New Day segment with not only the promo segment but the match.
No,
like,
I wouldn't turn it. No,
and there was no other show that I would have turned on that, and there was just too many elements of the show. They had 5 elements on that show with the beginning and the end, with Miz and Becky and Charlotte. I mean, Bayley and Charlotte,
mm-hmm.
and the whole segment with the segment of Heavy Machinery and the New Day, and then the match. With Heavy Machinery, and then we didn't even mention the fact that Nikki Cross is match. Like it was a hell of a show, and
yeah,
that's why I put that show up there, because there was really no weakness in that show. And I could have turned, like, you even said it. You said it when you led into, like, the Jungle Boy, I could have did without. So there was stuff that was not every segment that was shining.
Oh, no, Mark, sorry, I didn't say that I would have done away with Jungle Boy. I love Jungle Boy. I was saying that he was receiving criticism because I think it was the first time a lot of people had eyes on Jungle Boy. Maybe WWE fans are like, "What? You're ruining the business. This guy shouldn't be out there putting those movesets on and doing what he was doing." I liked it. And talking about Marco Stunt and that whole thing, right? Like, people felt a certain way about seeing the smaller guys in there. No, you know, you talk about AEW, something that in terms of, and you're right, the SmackDown show was a good show, and you're absolutely correct. There were segments I definitely wouldn't have turned away from. Luckily, we're in that new era, the DVR era, which I think kind of like kills any talk of a war. Like, we can go back and watch anything when we want to watch it. But one thing I loved, and I want to get your thoughts on this real quick before we go off to break and get some callers' thoughts on show of the week, weekly winner, as we're going to be calling it here on Busted Open going forward. That's a little tease for the weeks ahead. You know what? One thing I really liked about the AEW show was that title match, the women's title match. And the women in AEW, at least the roster is getting some critique. Maybe it's not deep enough. Maybe they need to mix it up, bring someone in. Point being is when Rio and Britt Baker kicked off that match, that crowd was relatively dead. I think it was the third match of the night. It was kind of in the middle. There was a little bit of a lag. It was only a 9-minute match, Mark, but by the last 3 or 4 minutes of that match, it started cold, and by the end of it, that crowd was infinitely into it. Yep.
They had them. And you know, like you said, the first three matches, the crowd was kind of down. There was never a point when the crowd was down on SmackDown. They were up the whole time. And those girls saved it. And you know, there's some people that are very critical of the champion on AEW.
I'm not, Rio. Yeah.
Rio, I'm not critical of her size because her abilities supersede the size. And Bruce Lee made that point better than anybody. You know, the 6-inch punch, there were guys 300 pounds that Bruce Lee would hit with that 6-inch punch and knock them on their butt. So if your skill level is high and your speed is good, you can change the dynamic of the game. And whatever sport it is, nevertheless, just it being wrestling. So for those people that are knocking her for her size, like, just pay attention to her skill level in the storytelling. Like, that's what's key.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.